Luke chapter number 1, let's all stand together. I'm going to read several verses just for the mainly for the sake of kind of us seeing what's going on here in the story. We know the story is very familiar, but we're going to focus in on just one verse. But we'll start in verse number 26, Luke chapter number 1, verse 26. The Bible says this: "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." And so the title of the message this evening is, what is it that God cannot do? And we read here in verse number 37, it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And God, I believe, put that there because of the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. And that's definitely Bible doctrine, that Mary was a virgin and she never knew a man when she gave birth to Jesus Christ. That was God demonstrating his power. And it's possible because the Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And our human world, that is impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. So we're going to talk about that. What is it that God cannot do? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the great day we've had already in the Lord's house. Thank you for the great message Brother Audie preached this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would apply it to our lives. And Lord God, I pray that you would help us with this message tonight as well. Fill me with your power, Lord. Help me to do my best. Help me not to say anything that shouldn't be said. Help me not to mess up whatever work you might want to do. And I certainly don't want to waste anyone's time. I don't want to waste your time. And Lord, I don't want to just fill a spot, Lord. I want to be used. I pray that you'd use me. I pray you fill me with your power. I pray you'd use our pastor while he's gone, preaching a revival. Do a great work through him and through the other preachers that are there. And I pray that that church would see revival. And I pray our church would see revival, Lord. And I pray you do work in our hearts. Help us through this message to see and learn some things about you, but also learn some things about us, about what we ought to be doing and how we ought to be living. Bless all that goes on. Keep us safe throughout the week. Help us to live for you, Lord, I pray. And I pray you get all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is obvious, but we all have limitations. Not a one of us have the ability to do anything we imagine. There are some things we are completely incapable of doing. And this is a very goofy and dumb and obvious example. But, for example, no matter how much I wanted to, no matter how much I imagined, I couldn't... I don't have the physical ability to leap into the air 20 feet. I can't leap in the air very, very many feet at all. I don't even want to try because I might be embarrassed. But I certainly can't do it 20 feet. I can't do it 10 feet. I probably can't do it 5 feet. And I'm sure most of us are the same way. Some people may not be able to jump very far off the ground at all. You know who you are. But anyways, you know, we cannot... that's one goofy example, but here's some others, and all these are just obvious. But just for example, we cannot instantly travel from one location to another. That certainly would be nice, especially those of you who go to Dallas for work and you have to drive in that traffic. That'd be nice if you can just poop and then be at work, especially if you're a late person or something like that. But that'd be nice. I know Brother Caleb, that'd be nice for you if you could just wake up a few minutes before your first class and then just boop, be there instantly. And I would have enjoyed that as well, but that's just impossible. That's something we cannot do. Another goofy example. We cannot, this isn't necessarily goofy, but we can't physically here on this earth live forever. we're all eventually going to die. Unless Jesus Christ comes back, we're all going to experience death. We can't on our own live forever. We cannot survive without food or water. No matter how much we try, if we go without food, if we go without water, eventually we will die. That's just something we cannot do. We could sit here forever naming off different fantasies that we cannot do. But the thing is, God is a God who can do anything. And He has no limitations. Anything that comes to His mind, He can do. The Bible says in Job 42, verse 2, I know that thou, talking about God, canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. So God can imagine anything. No thought can be withholden from thee. So He can imagine anything, and whatever He imagines, He can do, because He's God. There's no limitations with God. He can do anything He desires to do. Because God can do anything, we truly serve a mighty God. To flip your Bibles over to Job. Job chapter number 36. God has zero limitations, okay? We do. We have many limitations. And we can see here forever naming off the many different limitations that we have. Some are complete fantasies. Others may be some things that maybe other people can do, but we can't. But the thing is, God has zero limitations. And that means we truly have a mighty God. In Job chapter 36, look at verse number 5. The Bible says this. Job 36 verse 5. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. Look at verse number 26. The Bible says, behold, God is great, and we know Him not, neither can the number of His years be searched out. Hey, we can't search out the number of God's years, because He has always been. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 22 and verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Bible also says in John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. God, He was already there in the beginning, already existing. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the heaven and the earth. And God has always been. And there's never a time where there wasn't a God. And we can't imagine that. We can't think, how does God not begin? How has He always existed? How has He always been? But the thing is, He's eternal, and He has no beginning. He has no end. And, you know, in geometry, you have, I think, I don't remember what the array, I think, is there's a beginning point and then a line. And that's us. We have a beginning point. We start. But with us, eventually we slip off into eternity. We never end. Our soul never dies. But with God, it's I guess it's called a line. I don't remember. But you have arrows going both ways, and there's no beginning, there's no end, and that's God. He has no beginning, He has no end. He's always been, He's always existed. And we should seriously ponder the wonderful God we worship and never forget His mighty works. The Bible says this, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. The Bible also says, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. The Bible says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Hey, we serve a marvelous God who does marvelous works and does wonders even today. And we can't and never will figure out God. And people who try to put God in a box instead of believing in the big, all-powerful God of the Bible are foolish, because His ways and thoughts are past finding out. The Bible says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's God saying, hey, my ways are far higher than your ways. My thoughts are far higher than your thoughts. You cannot figure me out. We'll never be able to figure God out. And people who choose not to believe in God because they can't wrap their head around Him need to just simply trust that He is who He says He is. We will never figure God out. The Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And we can try to figure out God, and we can search and study and try to see how God works, but we'll never truly figure out God. His ways are past finding out, and we'll never fully understand and fully wrap our minds around God. And I'm glad that we serve that big of a God that's bigger than me, a God that I can't fully understand, because He's in control. And if I can fully understand how God works, then He must not be a very big God. But He is a big God, because we can never figure Him out. Needless to say, we should all be amazed at the amazing God that we serve. The Bible says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Hey, we should be standing in awe of God, saying, wow, God, You are wonderful. You are amazing. You're mighty. And you've done so many marvelous works, not just throughout eternity, but also in my personal life, you've done so many wonderful things. And that's what's so wonderful about the Lord, is He's not just all big and so untouchable. The Bible says that we can come to Him boldly if we're saved and talk to this amazing and mighty God. And He can do works personally in our lives. And God can do anything. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. And we read that a moment ago in our text, how that there is nothing impossible with God. We are very limited, but God is not. God can do the impossible. If you read the Bible, and this might sound a little strange, but if you read the Bible, in the Bible, you will find that you can find three things that God cannot do. And maybe you say, well, if God says that nothing's impossible with God, why is there three things in the Bible that He can't do? Well, the very fact that God can't do those things prove that all things are possible with Him. Because the three things that God can't do, not only are things that we can do, but they are things that we will do throughout our lives. These things that God can't do are things that we cannot help but do. And we can't avoid them, but God can. He can avoid them so much so that He can't even do them. He does not have the ability to do these things. The Bible says, and He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. It is impossible for us to avoid these three things that we're going to talk about, but it is possible with God, so much so that He can't even do them. And what are these three things? We're going to talk about these three things that God can't do that we see straight from the Bible. And then we're also going to talk about how these apply to our life and how we should respond to these things as well, okay? So what are the three things? We talked about how God can do the impossible. There's three things that He can't do, not because He's a limited God, but because He's so far removed from doing these things that we can't help but doing, that He can't do them. And that's amazing, because these are things that we can't, without even trying, we're going to do. What are the three things God can't do that we can find in the Bible? Number one, God cannot change. Turn over to James. Go over to James. It's after the book of Hebrews. James chapter number 1. God does not have the ability to change. He cannot change. The Bible says in James chapter number 1, look at verse number 17. The Bible says this in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom, talking about the Father, talking about God, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That word variableness, that means that God, it's the inability to change. It means God has no ability to vary or to change. He cannot change. The God that said, I'm holy, has not changed. He is still holy today. The standard He has placed on holiness hasn't changed. He can't change. He does not possess that ability. He still has no pleasure in wickedness. He is still holy and righteous. The Bible says, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And God's a holy God. God will never change the fact that He is holy. And He will never change the fact, never change His standard for holiness. And He won't change because He can't change. And God didn't have all these rules that he preserved for us in the Bible, and all these standards of holy living that He placed in the Bible, just so later on down the road when things kind of change in our society, He didn't put all that down just so He can change His mind and say, well, you know what? I know I said this, but you know, I don't really mean it that way anymore. You know, you can kind of loosen up on some of your living. You don't have to live that holy anymore. And that is not God, because He cannot change. And He says that He's holy, and He's placed some certain standards and rules of holiness in the Bible, and that never changes. Hey, you know what? God is still eternal. The Bible says the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. God will never cease. He was here before the beginning, and He'll always be here after the end. He is eternal, and He cannot change. God will never end, and that never changes, because He can't change. Hey, you know what? This is a comforting to think about. The Bible says that God is the God of all comfort, and you know what? That will never change, because God cannot change. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be God, Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Hey, you know what? The next verse says, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations. And there's no trial that can come into our lives that is so major and so heartbreaking and so difficult that God says, well, you know what? I know that I said I was the God of all comfort, but I'm not really that way anymore. I've kind of lost my touch. I can't really comfort you the way I did. And this heartbreak in your life is so major. I'm sorry. I can't comfort you. You're on your own. God, that will never happen because God is a God of all comfort. And he can comfort us in all of our tribulations, and that will never change because he cannot change. And he can comfort us in a way that no one else can, and that will never change. Hey, you know what? God is still King of Kings, and that can never change. The Bible says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Hey, you know what? All the leaders and God haters who seek to have power over the world will be greatly disappointed one day when they realize that God is the king and that not only will it not change, but it cannot change because God can't change. And God told Moses this. He says, I am that I am, and God cannot change. He is still perfect in all of his ways. The Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. And you know what? Everything that God does in our lives, it is perfect. There's no other scenario, no other circumstances, no other way that he could place our life to where it'd be better, because he does it in his perfect way, and his way is perfect, and he never makes a mistake, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. And you know what? That will never change, and it can never change, because God is a God that can't change, and his way is perfect. He's never made a mistake. He's never just done the okay way or it's almost good enough way, but he does the best thing for us, and he does all his ways are perfect. Hey, you know what? He is still a savior to anyone who believes, and he cannot change that. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 7. Let's look at this together in Hebrews chapter number 7. God is a God that will not change because he cannot change. There, in him is no variableness. He has no ability to change. Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse number 22. The Bible tells us this. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. And before Jesus died, there was many different priests that would offer sacrifices once a year, and different things that they did. But it was all, there was always different priests because they would die. And but verse 24, but this man, talking about Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And God will never change the fact that he is a savior, and anyone who accepts them as their savior, they're saved forever, and that will never change because God is an unchangeable priest, and he can save anybody who calls on him and who believes. And we are people who don't know life without change. It is impossible for us to not change, but God cannot change. It's possible for him to not have the ability to change. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible also says, for I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change because he cannot change. Hey, what is it that God cannot do? Number one, God cannot change. But also number two, another thing that God cannot do, and I'm sure we've heard this before, but God cannot lie. Turn over to Titus. You have Hebrews, it's Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. So if you go to Hebrews, start going backwards, you'll see Philemon, and then you'll see Titus. God cannot change. God cannot lie. He has no variableness, no ability, has not the ability to change, and also he cannot lie. Anything that comes out of his mouth is always truth. It's never a lie. It never will be a lie because he can't. Look at it in Titus chapter 1, in verse number 1, the Bible says this, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Another amazing ability God has is the ability to not be able to lie, to tell a lie. He has the ability to only say the truth. Not one lie, not one tall tale, not one falsely embellished story, not one half-truth, not one white lie, not one false accusation, not one made-up story has ever come out of God's holy mouth. And the reason for this is because he can't do it. He cannot lie. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Hey, there's nothing God has said he will do that he either hasn't done or will do at some point, because he cannot lie. Everything God says he'll do, he will do. And you can hold him to it every single time. 100% of the time you can hold him to it. He said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hey, you know what? God did not lie when he said that he will answer our prayers if we go to him and ask in his name. He cannot lie about that. Hey, God can't lie. Everything that he said is truth. The Bible says, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. And God is true, and God cannot lie. He can't lie. Hey, listen, this, we ought to ponder on this and meditate on this. God cannot lie about the realities of hell. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And he said, those which do iniquity, he will cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you know what? All the details that you can find in the Word of God about hell and about the lake of fire and how people are there wailing and weeping and gnashing their teeth and in great torments. God cannot lie about that. And he didn't embellish it a little bit. He didn't kind of add to it to make it sound worse than what it really is. The way he describes it is how it really is, because he cannot lie, and he tells the truth. And you know what? God cannot lie about our sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And because of sin, death passed upon all men. And we know that when we're born, we're headed for hell because of our sin. But also after we're saved, sin can still cause death in our life. And God never lied about that when he said, when he warned us about sin. Hey, you know what? Here's another encouraging fact. God cannot lie. He did not lie, and he cannot lie about heaven. The Bible says in John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, if you think about all the loved ones that you may have lost in your lifetime, and they were saved, they really are in a place called heaven. They're really walking on streets of gold, and they're really with their other loved ones who passed on, who were saved. And they really do have a mansion up in heaven. And all those things that the Bible talks about, he doesn't give us a lot of details, but the details he does give about heaven, the crystal sea and the walls of jasper, all the amazing things about heaven, it's all real. It's all true. It's not a lie, because God cannot lie. And he tells us about that, how wonderful heaven is, and how there's no more sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no death. And our loved ones really are there today, walking the streets of gold, waiting on us to get there as well. And God did not lie when he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is no lie, because God cannot lie. Hey, God can't lie about his great love for his children. The Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us more than we ever could comprehend. And that is no lie, because God cannot lie. Hey, you know what? God can't lie about his all-seeing eye. He sees all that we do. And the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And we might think we can get away with certain sins. No one knows about it. The preacher doesn't know. He never preaches on it because he has no clue. The Sunday school teacher never hits on it because they have no clue. Our friends never confront us about it because they have no clue. Our spouse has no clue, so she doesn't ask us about it. Nobody knows the sin that I'm secretly doing, but the thing is, God does know. He didn't lie when he says his eyes are in every place. He knows exactly what we're doing, and he knows how to get our attention, and might as well just get right now, because God knows. Hey, God can't lie about his promise to always forgive us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he didn't lie and just say, well, you know I said, if you confess your sins, but you know what? If you've done it for the 50th time this week, and you're asking me for forgiveness the 50th time, you know what? I'm not going to forgive you this time. He didn't lie when he talked about that. He said he'll forgive us if we confess our sins and go to him and say, God, would you forgive me? He can't lie about that. God can't lie about the rapture and about his second coming. It says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God will come back for us one day and take us all to heaven. And we'll all be there with Jesus forever and with our loved ones forever in heaven. And God, all the facts you can read in the Bible about the Lord and what he says, it's all true. It's not a lie. God cannot lie. The fact that he preserved his word, and Brother Ogden talked about it this morning, how we have God's word in the King James Bible. It's his holy, precious word. We have every bit of it. He said that we should live by every word, and he said he'll preserve every word, and we have every word right here in the English language. And so we know that everything we read in this book is not a lie. It's all truth. God cannot lie. Our God is an amazing God. Hey, you know what? The Bible says all men are liars, and we can't help but live our life and go through life telling some lies. And even when we're saved, there's times where we may just slightly, just barely, just tiny bit twist the truth just to make ourselves look better or to make it not seem as bad. Or maybe we tell the partial truth, but we leave some out. And it's because we're natural liars. That is a natural sin that we have. We shouldn't be that way, but that's something that we will do throughout our life. But that is something God not only won't do, but he cannot do. And the Bible says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And Satan is the one who's behind the lies. He's the father of lies, but God's the one who cannot lie. Hey, thank God, everything he said is true. Hey, what is it that God can't do? Number one, God cannot change. There is no variableness in God. He has no ability to change. Number two, God cannot lie. And then number three, what is it that God cannot do? God cannot sin. Turn over to James. Very simple. God cannot sin. James chapter number one. James chapter 1, look at verse number 13. The Bible says this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God can't be tempted to do evil because he can't sin. He can't do evil. He has no desire in his heart anywhere at all to do evil. The Bible talks about that his right hand is full of righteousness. And he's a righteous God, a holy God. And he cannot sin. And the Bible tells us over, I'm going to flip over to it, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 18, the Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Jesus Christ was the perfect, holy, sinless Lamb of God, and he was sinless because he could not sin. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. And God is a God that cannot sin. He has not one time said something wrong. God has never committed something unkind or cruel. Everything he does is just and on purpose. God has never done something on accident. He has never made a mistake. He has never treated someone in a wrong way. Decision he's ever made has always been perfect and right, because the Bible says his way is perfect, and he has never had a bad thought. He has never treated someone unfairly. The Bible says good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. We are full of iniquity, the Bible says. The Bible puts it this way. In Job, it says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. And we can't live without water. We're constantly drinking water. And there, I don't know about you today. I don't know if you ever get this feeling, but every now and then we're so thirsty, we drink a lot of water and we still feel thirsty. It's like, I need more water. And we're just drinking that water down. And then we might feel satisfied for a while, but if we're working or something, it's not long, we're thirsty again. We need that water. And that's how we are with sin. We're just drinking it like water. And it's just something, it's a part of our daily lives. And it will be that way until one day we're in heaven. Praise the Lord. We won't have to worry about sin in heaven. But right now here on earth, the Bible says we drink sin. We drink iniquity like water. But God is complete opposite. Not only will he not sin, but he can't sin. He doesn't have that ability. Iniquity is something he cannot do. And that's because he is a good and an upright God. The Bible says to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He can't sin because he is holy. The Bible says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful and praises, doing wonders. Hey, you know what? God is so glorious in holiness because he can't do anything unholy. God has no sin dwelling in him. He knows no sin. The Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And God does not know sin. He does not know what it's like to sin because he never has sinned, and he never will sin because he cannot sin. And the Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And the Bible also says in 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And God is a God who cannot sin. We are sinners, and we can't help it, but God is not only one who has never sinned. He is the one who cannot sin. And you know what? What is it that God cannot do? He cannot change. God cannot lie, and God cannot sin. And you know what? There's nothing that God cannot do. And all these things are possible with him. He has the ability to not only just avoid these things, but he's so far removed from doing these things that the Bible says he can't do them. And that's an amazing God we serve, because we're people who can't live life without change. We're people who can't live life without telling a lie. We're people who can't live a single day without committing a sin. Yet we have a God who can't do any of these things. Hey, you know what? The Bible does tell us, because these three things God can't do, these are attributes of God, we're never going to be just like God. But you know what? God wants us to strive to be like him. The Bible does say, be holy, for I am holy. And you know what? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at this real quick. And then I'm going to, in a different way, rehash these points in a sense where it applies to us. Romans chapter number 8, and this is why, because the Bible says this in Romans 8:29. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Keep in mind the fact that Jesus is God. So whether we're talking about God or Jesus Christ, we're talking about God either way, because Jesus is God, the Bible talks about. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And you know what God desires from each and every Christian? He desires for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be more and more like Christ each and every day. He wants us to strive to be like Jesus and strive to be like God and to have his attributes. And certainly we'll never arrive. We'll never become perfect. But we can strive our best to be like Jesus Christ. So since we learned these three things about God, how he cannot change, how he cannot lie, how he cannot sin, then let's decide three things tonight. Number one, let's determine not to change, okay? Once we align a certain area of our life with the Word of God, don't change it. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 4. When I say don't change, it doesn't mean just however you are right now, never change, because there is good change, and sometimes we need to change the way we're living if we're living wrong. But once we get it right based on the Word of God, then don't change that, and stay right where you need to be in God's will. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 4, look at verse number 25, the Bible says this, let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Hey, you know what? God wants us to stay on the straight, narrow path of the Word of God. He doesn't want us to change. He doesn't want us to go left. He doesn't want us to go right. He doesn't want us to do what our family does who's not living for the Lord. He doesn't want us to do what our friends are doing who aren't living for the Lord. He doesn't want us to do what some other church is doing who's not doing all that they ought to do as a church, based on the Word of God. He doesn't want us to do what we see everyone do on Facebook or on the television. He just wants us to follow the Word of God and to not change, to do what God's Word says and to not change that. Hey, don't change. Don't change your standards. If God has got hold of your heart about some kind of standard, personal standard in your life that you should have, then don't change it. There's no reason to change it. Hey, don't change your beliefs. If you read in God's Word and you realize that is what God's Word says, and you see it black and white, straight out of the Scriptures, then don't change what you believe. Don't say, well, you know, I know the Bible says that, but you know, I'm just not real sure. Does the Bible really mean what it's saying there? No, God means what he says, and he's very plain, he's very simple. He's not the author of confusion. He doesn't say one thing and then mean a different thing. He means exactly what he says. So, hey, you know what? Let's not change our beliefs. Hey, don't change your Bible. Don't say, well, you know, I know that The King James Bible is the Word of God, but you know what? I know there's other versions out there that take out some verses and stuff, but you know, it's not that big of a deal. Those few verses that are missing, I'm sure it won't be that big of a deal to me. I can understand it a little bit better. No, don't do that, because the Bible says we're supposed to live by every Word of God, and we can't do that if we don't have every Word of God. We're not living the way God wants us to live that way. Don't change your Bible. Hey, don't change your church. If you know that you're in a good, solid Bible-preaching church, then don't change. If the church changes, then yeah, change. But go to another a church that's preaching truth. But as long as the church is standing on the Word of God, and the pastor is leading us in the right direction, which he is, then don't change. There's no reason to change. Just because something in the church happens that you don't totally like, you don't totally agree with, or maybe you get a little offended about the way someone treated you, or maybe you got a little bit offended about what preacher said. Like Brother Audrey said this morning, if a preacher preaches something from the Word of God and you're offended, that just means you got to get right with God. If I get offended, that just means I need to get my heart right with God. Because if it's coming from the Bible, then what I'm doing is I'm getting offended at what God tells me I should do. And hey, you know what? Don't just change churches just because it's not the perfect church and everything's just right, just how you want it. Because if so, you'll be changing churches until you die. Because there is no such perfect church, okay? Because churches are made up of people, all right? And so just stay put in a Bible-preaching, solid, independent, fundamental Baptist church, and don't change that, okay? Hey, don't change your convictions. What the Bible convictions that you stand on, don't change those, okay? Don't change where God wants you to be and God's will for your life. Unless God obviously moves you, then don't change and stay put where God has put you. Hey, don't change your calling on your life. If God has called you to preach, if God has called you to be a missionary, if God has called you to do something for Him, then don't change that. Do what God calls you to do. Hey, don't change your area of service. Don't just quit because it gets hard, or quit because you think that you just can't do it. Yeah, we can't do it, but we can do it through Christ. He'll help us. Don't change. Don't change your witness. Continue to tell folks about Christ. Don't change your giving, and don't just decide to quit giving to the Lord's work because there's plenty of other people that give, or because things are tight with finances or whatever it may be. Continue to give to God's work. Don't change your faith. Hey, don't change being faithful to church. Determine not to change what you are doing that is right to do. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what God wants us to be as a Christian. First Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Hey, what God tells us, He says, hey, be steadfast. Don't be wavering back and forth and changing on what you believe, changing on what you do. If you're going to be faithful to church and then you change your mind and you're going to be unfaithful to church, you're going to serve God, but then you change your mind, you're not going to serve God. You're going to give your tithes, but then you change your mind and you're not going to give your tithes. You're going to listen to godly music, but then you change your mind. You say, well, I'm not going to listen to godly music. Hey, don't change. God says, be steadfast, be unmovable. Decide, this is where I stand on God's word, and I'm not going to change, okay? Let's be like the Lord. He cannot change. We can, but we must work hard not to change. And if God points something out, hey, change this. This isn't right. Change it. But as soon as it's right, don't change it, okay? The Bible tells us we're supposed to be like trees planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. And the Bible also says, meddle not with them that are given to change. And let's not be Christians that are changing based on what the world does. Let's just stay solid and true based on the Word of God, because God does not change, okay? Number one, determine not to change. Number two, because God cannot lie, let's also determine not to lie. Let's just tell the truth. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 8. And maybe think, I don't really struggle with telling lies, but I think we may not tell flat out just blatant lies, but I think we all struggle a little bit with just not sharing the full truth, or we struggle a little bit with just barely, slightly, just teeny tiny bit twisting it just so it doesn't sound as bad, instead of just saying, hey, here's how it is. Or perhaps we don't tell a lie, but we refrain from telling the truth. And God wants us to speak the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 7, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." Hey, that should be our mindset. My mouth shall speak truth. And it ought to be that, hey, no lie is going to come out of my mouth. Let's not stretch for truth. Let's just be honest. Hey, let's be honest. be honest with your boss at work and work an honest day's work as well. Don't be dishonest by being lazy when the boss isn't looking. Work hard and be honest with your boss. Be honest with your dealings. Hey, be honest, teenagers and kids, with your parents, and tell the truth. It shouldn't be that they have to discover what you did before you finally confess it. It ought to be that you just say, yes, that's what I did. You caught me. And just be honest and tell the truth. Hey, be honest with your spouse and tell them the truth, and don't try to hide things from them. And tell them what you ought to tell them, and be honest. Be honest with your children. Be honest with your pastor. Be honest with your friends. Be honest with your family. Anybody that we come across, just be honest. Don't tell lies. Don't be a liar. The Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Hey, you know what? The Bible does say, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. And he says, lying lips is one, but then the other one, he says, a false witness witness which speaketh lies. So I don't know necessarily the difference there, but to me it just sounds like that God hates it so much, he just throws it out there twice. Hey, stop lying. And God wants us to tell the truth. Hey, let's number one, because God cannot change, let's determine not to change. Because God cannot lie, let's number two, determine not to lie. But then number three, because God cannot sin, let's determine not to sin. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Can't get much more simple than don't sin. And but yet we struggle with it so much. 1 Peter chapter number 2, the Bible says this in verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Well, okay, God, Jesus Christ left us an example. We should follow his steps. Okay, what are those steps we should follow? It says in verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And you know what? Jesus left us a perfect example of living a perfect life and living a sinless life. And certainly we're not going to be sinless, but we heard it several times, we can sin less. So we can work our hardest to live in victory over sin throughout our life and have a winning record. I heard it put this way before, how, you know, a football team can have a winning record. Doesn't mean that they didn't lose a single game. It just means they have more wins than they do losses. And you know what? We as Christians can have winning records. We're not perfect. We're not going to win every victory over sin, but let's have it that throughout the week, we have the majority throughout the week, we're living in victory. Yeah, maybe Monday we messed up a little, but then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we did pretty well. Then maybe Friday we messed up again, but Saturday we did pretty good. Hey, you know what? That's a winning record. Let's have a winning record in God's eyes and live in victory over sin through Jesus Christ. Hey, say no to sin. Make no provision for sin. Don't make it easy for you to sin. If there's a besetting sin that you have, a sin that you struggle with, a sin that's just so easy for you to give into, then don't put yourself in a situation where it's just so easy for you to fall. It's just a matter of simply touching a button or something like that. Make it hard for you to sin. And Romans chapter 13, verse 14 tells us this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you struggle with looking at pornography or looking at different television shows that show ladies not dressed right, men, if that's your struggle, then don't make it easy for you to sin. Get rid of the TV, get rid of the internet, get accountability for those things. And you know what? What that you're doing is you're making it hard for you to sin. You're making it hard for you to give in to that temptation. And if your struggle, if your sin is gossip, then get away from the gossips. When you're at church, don't hang around the people that want to gossip. Find someone who doesn't want to gossip and get off of Facebook and don't call people on the phone all day long and just gossip all day and make no provision. Don't make it easy for you to give in to your temptation. That's what God's saying. Hey, avoid sin. Hate sin. And you know what? We ought to have the attitude of, hey, I don't want to sin. I want to stop my sin. I want to get right with God, and I want to avoid this sin in my life. Turn over to Psalms chapter 38. Look at this with me real quick, and we're almost done. In Psalms chapter number 38, the Bible says, this ought to be our attitude right here, and we're not going to be perfect. We're going to have to constantly get right about our sin, but if our attitude is, I don't really care. Who cares if I sin? Who cares if I do something that displeases God? Who cares if I do something that goes against His Word? Man, if that's our attitude, we're in a horrible place in our life. Psalms chapter 38, verse 17, this ought to be our attitude. For I am ready to halt and my sorrow is continually before me. What is this guy talking about? He says, I'm ready to halt. I'm ready to stop. What is he ready to stop doing? In verse 18, for I will declare mine iniquity and I will be sorry for my sin. Hey, you know what? The psalmist was saying, he says, I'm ready to stop sinning. I'm ready to stop going against God's word. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I declare it. This is what I did. And would you forgive me? And would you help me to have victory over the sin? Hey, you know what the Bible simply says? It says this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And that's just so simple. God just simply just does not want us to sin. And hey, it's impossible for us to not change. And God can do anything. And his ability is so great that some of these things that we just can't help but doing, we drink iniquity like water. And these sins, we can't help but doing. But God not only can't avoid them, but he can't even do them. And it's amazing that he can't do these things, considering the fact how we always do these things and we struggle with these things. It's impossible for us to not change. Change will always be a part of our life. Some of the change is good, but also some of the change is bad. Hey, it's impossible for us to go throughout life and never tell a lie. Sometimes I'll ask a kid, maybe when it comes to witnessing to a kid, we always want to make sure that they realize that they're sinners. And one sin that gets everybody, because God says we're all liars, is lying. So sometimes I'll ask a kid, hey, you know what? What's the sin that you've done before? And they might say something like stealing or hitting my brother. Okay. But then if they don't say lying, usually I'll say, well, what about lying? I've done that before. Have you ever done that before? And a kid will look and they'll be like, you know, said, no, they haven't lied. And they're lying to me right there, saying they never lied, because we've all lied. We can't go through life not lying. And that is something that we're going to struggle with. We got to work hard to tell the truth. It's impossible for us to not lie. It's impossible for us to not sin. But praise God that he cannot change. What he was yesterday is what he is today. What he is today is what he'll be tomorrow. He cannot change. Praise God that he cannot lie. All that he has said is truth. No part of him is false. That is indicated in the Bible. He cannot lie. Praise God that he cannot sin. He will never treat us wrong or fail. He is holy and his way is perfect. He cannot sin. So, Christian, let's strive to not change. What we do that is right, the areas in our life that is right based on the Word of God, let's not change those things. Let's be steadfast in those things, not wavering and going back and forth on what we decide. If we decide to live right, but then we change and decide to live wrong, and we go back and forth on what we're going to do, if we're going to come to church or not come to church, if we're going to serve God or not serve God, if we're going to be a soul winner or not be a soul winner, let's not go back and forth. Let's just decide, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to change. Let's strive to tell the truth. Let's put away lying and determine to speak the truth in every scenario and in every situation. And let's strive to not sin. Let's confess our sins and let's be willing to halt, as the psalmist said. Let's be willing to stop our sin, to cease from our sin. Hey, and then also, I know this is a Sunday night, and I know that probably, except for maybe the young kids, probably, possibly, everyone in here may just possibly be saved. But also at the same time, I know that there can be people that claim to be saved and go to church, but they're never really saved. And they never really get that settled. And here's one last thing I want to read real quick. Something that God cannot do. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11, it says this right here. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And something God cannot do is he cannot deny himself. And if you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ, what you're doing is you're denying the Lord. And don't be the one who goes to church and who everyone thinks you're saved. Maybe you serve God in different areas, but deep down in your heart, you know there's never been a time where you accepted Christ. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been doubting. So don't live your life any longer denying Jesus as your Savior. Settle that today and don't die being someone who denies Christ and has to spend eternity in hell, something God cannot do. He cannot deny himself, and I hope that you won't deny him either. If you're here doubting your salvation, even on a Sunday night, why don't you just get that settled and we'll all rejoice with you. And so let's come and let's make these decisions, Christians, to not change, and let's make the decision to tell the truth. Let's make the decision to work at just living a sinless life, because we can't ever be that point where we're just totally sinless. But let's just work hard to refrain from sin the best we can. And when we do mess up, let's ask God, please forgive us. And let's ask God, God, give me the victory this week. Help me to have a winning record. Help me to have more victories over sin this week than I do the feasts, Lord. And He'll help us if we do. Let's pray. Let's talk to God, and let's ask God to help us. And let's also thank God for the things that He can't do, and for the things that He absolutely will not do because He can't. And I'm certainly thankful for the God that we have, the God that we serve. So let's try to do our best and strive to be like Him. So let's come tonight and let's pray and do business with the Lord.